KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a brand new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I am joined by my partner in banter, Matt Bellany. Hello, Matt.
Hi there.
I will note that you are coming to us from Las Vegas, where you are going to the Consumer Electronics Show, where people will be talking about all things intellectual property, I guess, and new new toys.
Las Vegas. I'm doing a panel on artificial intelligence and how it will potentially change the game for actors.
Do you have a short summary of how it will potentially change the game for actors?
Well, it could potentially allow people to live forever. A good example, James Earl Jones sold his voice rights to a Ukrainian cloning company that will allow him to be Darth Vader for the foreseeable future, even though he is now 91 years old and retired.
Yes, we've actually touched on this in the past on stories when Paul Walker died and Fast and Furious, and they created a sort of a digital double. Let us move on to the 2022 box office, which we can now see clearly pictured. I mean, it's not a frozen image. It's still going. We have Avatar, The Way of Water from our guest today, about to eclipse Top Gun Maverick as the number one movie of 2022 internationally. But what we saw was that those two movies that I just mentioned, Top Gun Maverick and Avatar, The Way of Water, just were the main bright spots that gave hope to people in the industry that movies are not dead and that with the right incentive, audiences will turn out in droves. And that is the upside. The downside, of course, is that box office was off by about 35%, correlating with about 35% fewer movies in the theater. And the question going forward is if the number of movies is ramped up, as it will start to really ramp up following, of course, the pandemic in 2023, will audiences sort of remember that they liked going to the movies, that it's fun to go to the movies, that it's a relatively inexpensive night out in today's world? And will they then start going to more movies? Because it has been this kind of feast or famine year.
Absolutely. And you hit the nail on the head in terms of the releases needing to go up to make the box office go up. Because it's not a coincidence that the percentage decline is about the same as the percentage decline in releases from 2019. That's the scary thing here, because we've seen certain genres of movies that were fairly reliable sources of grosses in theaters just not being that anymore, particularly the family film. Minions was really the only animated film to break out this past year, and there were several. The numbers for the Puss in Boots sequel over the holidays were not great, and that was a really good movie that got good reviews. So have audiences been trained now to accept those animated movies at home, or to think that they're about to come into their Disney Plus or other service when they see them advertised for theaters? The other one is the adult drama. I mean, we saw over the holidays, the awards movies, one after another, just flopped in theaters. We got a Steven Spielberg movie, The Fabelmans, that's only at $12 million, which is pretty shocking for a Spielberg movie. And that has been a trend throughout the year. Other than Elvis and Everything Everywhere All at Once, there hasn't been an adult movie that has really broken out like that.
Yeah, a lot of people are concerned. You know, we talked about this before briefly, but, you know, people blame Bob Chapek for having put so many Disney animated movies onto the streamer. And that just created this expectation that if you wait a minute, I think the older audience is also susceptible to that. You know, they think, well, I can wait. And they do wait. And that hurts the box office. Nonetheless, the studios are very motivated. The legacy studios, not Netflix, but the legacy studios that have, you know, these all kinds of business, they are very motivated and I think have really realized that this rush to streaming, which to be fair to them, have been insisted on by Wall Street, is very toxic for the business, that they do better when movies have some kind of a window in theaters that's exclusive. And then you generate an event that commands more attention, even when it comes to the streamer. But also if you're doing merchandise and toys or whatever, I think they've decided we went too far too fast. But they are not speaking with one voice at this point as to a window. I mean, in an ideal world, you'd say, well, this is the deal, audience. You have to wait what was more recently 72 days. That became closer now to 45 days. But some studios have gone shorter than that or to nothing. It's all over the map. And I think that without colluding, which is illegal, the studios need to maybe achieve some sort of consensus so the consumer knows what to expect.
Well, but that's interesting because these companies have different agendas. I mean, if you look at a company like Warner Brothers Discovery, they are pivoting into theatrical exclusives because they want that revenue up front. And they believe that they can get that revenue from the theatrical release and then the waterfall will flow to HBO Max and further. But then you look at a company like Comcast, which owns Universal Pictures, they're leaning more into the windowing of premium video on demand, where they put the movies in theaters, but then very quickly offer it at home for a significant upcharge for the rental. And then they go to their streaming service, Peacock, and then all the others. So they're trying to get as most money wringed out of these in a different way. And Disney is sort of all over the map, where they're putting some movies, if they're hits like Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, that got a pretty significant theatrical window from November through February. And then a movie that doesn't hit, like Strange World, that was almost immediately dropped on Disney Plus. So you're getting mixed messages from these companies. And I'm not sure that's the best strategy, but it's based on where these companies believe that they are best inclined to benefit long term.
But I think this is still kind of fluid. Like, I'm going to guess strongly that if you ask Donna Langley, who runs the Universal Film Studio, this PVOD thing of moving movies onto premium on demand quickly is not what she would favor necessarily, but her boss, Jeff Shell, who we know is very gung-ho on the window shortening, is in charge. Let me note that at Disney, for example, Chapek, as I said, he generated a certain amount of ill will, to put it mildly, with his decisions. Bob Iger is now in the chair, and he's going to look at this differently. And I did check in on this for a story I did at the end of 2022, and I was told nothing to say at this time. But you have to think that Bob Iger, who comes from a different mindset completely than Bob Chapek, might see this issue of windowing differently, especially when it comes to animation.
Yeah, and I think that there's been a lot of blame placed on Chapek for telling the audience, the family audience in particular, that the best stuff is going to go to streaming. And the Pixar movies, you love them in theaters. Now you can get them in the comfort of your own home. And, you know, I'm not saying Lightyear would have been a hit otherwise, but I think when people saw that, they said, oh, well, that's just going to be on Disney Plus very quickly. And they've got to figure out how to address that. I mean, if that market goes away in theaters, these movies cost $200 million to make a Pixar or a Disney Animation big tentpole movie. And if you're just going to start dropping those on Disney Plus, the economics there don't really add up, I don't think.
Yeah, I think for a lot of the legacy studios, the idea of dropping $200 million on a movie for streaming, you know, as Zaslav has already said, forget it at Warner Brothers Discovery. One of the last things I'll mention in this twist is that Brian Robbins at Paramount, who was supposedly brought in to be the new era of we're pivoting to streaming, we're all in on streaming, he seems to me, as far as I can tell, to be the first guy to pull a movie that was made for streaming out of streaming and put it in theaters. And that was Smile, which he saw and decided to test and said, let's put it in theaters. And it was a hit. So the worms have turned in terms of streaming is the world. And we'll see how we do with that in 2023. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
That's Matt Bellany, a founding partner of Puck News.
KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a brand new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.